This is Joe Ferrillo, and welcome to the weekly sermon from Amwell Church of the Brethren. We are located at 40 Sandbrook Headquarters Road in Surgeonsville, New Jersey.
This week's message is presented by Deacon Jeff Kiscerno and is entitled, Know What You Believe In and Why.
I have to admit that I am surprised by some things as I come across them during the week and things that I hear. But I'm only surprised for a minute or so when I realize that most of what is going on around us is prophecy unfolding before our very eyes. Would you agree with that?
Yes.
Okay. Many Christian scholars say that, in fact, we are living in the end times. And I'm going to read, this is not on the slide yet. But from Matthew chapter 24, if you want to get your Bibles for some of the scripture that's not up here, I have most of it. Matthew 24, verses 35 through 42. So, I want to break this in two parts this morning. I want to start with the secular world first. As it stands right now, and this is such a broad overview and such a minute description of what's going on. If you listen to the news or you read the news every day, there's so much going on right now that it's almost hard to digest. What comes out of Washington is just mind-boggling, at least to me. Let's talk about domestic politics, where we are right now. Where do we start? If you follow the news even a little bit, we have not seen things in the state that they are, certainly in a long time, maybe long before. And that's not to say that in this country, if you read history, and you know, we don't teach history in schools much anymore. For some of you that are in school or going into college, you don't get too many history courses these days, which I think is a dangerous thing because history does repeat itself. And if you don't remember what is going on, you will tend to forget about it. It's only because of all the World War II veterans that are still alive and not many left do we know what's going on and remember what happened in World War II. Could be a different world if many did not give their lives for our freedoms. So this does not affect where you stand politically. This is just an objective overview. So as you know what's going on, we just have pure media frenzy. If you watch, how many raise your hand? How many watch the news with some regularity? All right, so you know what I'm talking about, right? Not that there's no bias in the news, of course. I'm not going to make this a political comment, but the media is just, it is like just sharks circling for the kill every single day. An administration that feeds that media, I'm not sure why. Not my place, but I just watch it unfold. I will say that the current administration gives the media two or three things, at least a week. Some days there could be two or three things that the media will just jump all over. And of course, we know the several issues that are going on with Russia and some other things that just not letting go. We'll see where that all unfolds. Healthcare. If you've been following the news, you know what's going on with the healthcare issues right now. Almost impossible, I think, to solve unless you go to socialized medicine, to offer the medicine that we have in this country, the healthcare that we have, and to keep all the parties, who are all in it for profit, by the way, when you go to the doctor, the pharmacies, the hospitals, everybody is in it for profit. How do you keep all those people happy? That's why it is so difficult to make everybody happy. And you can see the number of the real conservative congressmen who just totally would not vote for this bill that they just tried to put through. What else is going on? Business development, that's a good thing. Tax reduction for corporations. We have some of the highest, if not the highest, corporate taxes in the world. And because of that, we see jobs that are going overseas. You know that the Trump administration is trying to get more jobs here. Tax breaks for Americans. We want to give the middle class especially a break in taxes. These monies have to come from somewhere. You know, we have less corporations than we used to have, and if they pay the bulk of the taxes, and we want to give them a tax break, we're hoping that they create more jobs, right? Because it's really the taxpayers that really keep this country afloat. A growing national debt. Now, there's a website that you can go to, which is U.S. National Debt Clock Real Time. You click on that, you're just going to go crazy because you can't keep track. Right now, the current national debt, and it's not right now because it's changed so much since I wrote this down yesterday. You go to that website, you'll know what I'm talking about. $19,858,218,000,000. And the last six digits, I just put zeros because the last six digits roll so fast, you can't write them down. That's how fast they're moving. If you go on there, you'll see it's an interesting piece of information. That amounts to $61,000. This does not change quite so quickly. $61,148 per citizen. So that's every American, including an infant that is just born yesterday. And that's one. This is you, the taxpayer. $165,542 per taxpayer. That's our national debt. You have to do the math. It's a staggering 320 million, wherever we're at in population these days, of those. I'm not sure what the number is for taxpayers, and that would get us to break even. Unless you've got an extra $165,000 you're willing to part with, along with every other taxpayer, the debt will increase. And the list goes on with many new recurring stories every day. So then we go to geopolitics. So the current administration hasn't even really dealt with that stuff yet. They're just trying to grasp what's going on here domestically. So if you're following the news again, you know that we have tensions with China, Russia, North Korea, even England, who is exiting the European Union. They want to go out on their own. They certainly deserve to do that. But there's some even tension there. And England is one of our strongest allies that we have in the world. We have a civil war in Syria, and I'll give you some stats on that in a little bit. Always ongoing tension between Israel and the Palestinians and other surrounding countries. So let's see what Scripture has to say about some of this. I'm reading from Matthew 24, verses 1. I have 3 written down here, but it actually goes to 1. Yep, 24. Yeah, slide 3. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, "Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming, and of the end of the world?" And Jesus answered and said unto them, "Take heed that no man deceive you." Really want you to listen to these words coming from Jesus. "For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye not be troubled, for all these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. And these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you. And ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure until the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come." So I just tried to get some stats together just to see kind of where we're at. And again, we read earlier that no man knows when Christ is coming again. It's been, I got a stat, I didn't put it in here today, but it listed 4 or 5 people who have all predicted when Christ was going to return. Obviously, they were all wrong. They're not reading this book. So earthquakes, and this comes from an article in October 2014, so about a little over 2 years back from NBC News. Between 2004 and 2014, 18 earthquakes with magnitudes of 8 or more occurred around the globe, and that's an increase of 265% over the average of the previous century. Think that's an increase? So, they go on to say that in the last century, we saw 71 great quakes. So these great quakes are anything with a reading of 7.5 or higher on the Richter scale. These numbers, as you go up in tenths of a percent, like the difference between 7.5 and 7.6, is huge, huge. Eight, and there's on all this scale, what's considered a minor quake, I think up to 2.5 on the Richter scale, there's literally tens of thousands of earthquakes around the world constantly, but you don't feel them. But once you start getting into this higher range, 6 and above, and once you get 8 and above, they will devastate whole cities. And we've seen some of these recently. Wars and rumors of wars. I'm only going to give you just a little bit of this information because you can see there's a lot here. Still, keeping in mind here. A lot of conflicts going on in the world right now. World is entering, and this is from an article from Foreign Policy, I think is the name of the magazine. This was just written in January 5th of this year. The world is entering its most dangerous chapter in decades. The sharp uptick in war over recent years is outstripping our ability to cope with the consequences. From the global refugee crisis to the spread of terrorism, our collective failure to resolve conflict is giving birth to new threats and emergencies, even in peaceful societies. The politics of fear is leading to dangerous polarization and demagoguery. Some of these countries are, number one, Syria and Iraq. No news to you, after nearly 6 years of fighting, an estimated 500,000 people killed and some 12 million people uprooted. You all know what's going on with immigration. Just the mass exodus of people in Europe. Hasn't been in the news lately. Doesn't mean that it's gone away. Turkey. There were some killings in Turkey recently. I've had some discussions with people who travel. Istanbul is off the list. And Istanbul, I understand, is a beautiful city. But for a lot of people, they ain't going there right now. So Turkey is a hotbed. Like I said, these are on a watch list. Yemen. Yemen is in serious condition. Actually, in this article, they call it a humanitarian catastrophe, wrecking a country that was already the poorest in the Arab land, with millions of people now on the brink of famine. Didn't we just read that? Greater Sable and Lake Chad Basin is another one. Democrat Republic of Congo. There is someone in leadership. His name is Kabila. And he has chosen to stay on in power after their time frame is up, according to their constitution, which is causing a lot of unrest. You can imagine that would cause a little bit of unrest here in this country if somebody decided, you know what, 8 years is not enough. I think I'm going to go another 4, you know. South Sudan. Sudan has been in the news for more than a decade. Civil war, it's just a mess. Afghanistan, you know what's going on with Afghanistan. Been going on for 15 years with the Taliban in power and Al-Qaeda, still ongoing. It's in the news because we pulled out of Afghanistan and we lost ground. Myanmar is another one. The Ukraine, this was news to me. I don't even see some of this stuff on the news. After almost 3 years of war and roughly 10,000 deaths, Russia's military intervention defines all aspects of political life in Ukraine. Divided by conflict and crippled by corruption, Ukraine is headed for even greater uncertainty. And then Mexico. Mexico is something that you are seeing unfolding with action, with the building of the wall. Mexico is probably not going to do a whole lot because they can't afford to be in conflict with the United States. Because we obviously support their economy in a very, very large way. Nevertheless, a lot of words going on, and that's not over. There's a stat in there, I think 30-some thousand deaths recently with all the drug cartels and other things that are going on, and of course more and more people are trying to come in. If we were to deport, I think it's roughly 11 million people back to Mexico. There's no question it would throw that country into more chaos than it is right now. Famine. This is an article from the New York Times, United Nations, in a world filled with excess food. 20 million people are on the brink of famine, including 1.4 million children at imminent risk of death. In the face of such grim numbers, a stark question confronts the world's most powerful. Why, in 2017, can't they avert such a seemingly archaic and preventable catastrophe? Secretary General Antonio Guterres of the United Nations raised the alarm Wednesday afternoon, the risk of famine in northern Nigeria, Somalia, and Yemen. And this week, the United Nations declared famine in a patch of South Sudan. While some of these we just spoke about is a broad overview, and believe me, it's a broad overview, it does give you a quick but disturbing picture of what's going on in the world. It does make you think, doesn't it? I can guarantee you, if we were to take a quick, what was that movie years ago, Around the World in 80 Days? I think, wasn't it Jules Verne in a balloon, something like that? If we were to do that, and today you could do it in a jet in a matter of days, and we were to stop in some of these countries, you just couldn't comprehend it. Just couldn't comprehend it. So that's what's going on in the secular world, and then some. So let's talk about the spiritual world, and this is really where I want to get to this morning, because I found this to be disturbing, and I just learned about some of these things that are going on within the last few weeks. Some of you maybe have heard some of this stuff. It's news to me. There's a movie out right now that comes from a book written in 2008 called The Shack. Has anyone here heard about this movie, The Shack? Okay. Has anyone seen the movie? Okay. So this was brought to my attention from one of my customers who is a Christian, and his church saw the movie, and he's in a big church, and he was relating to me how many people bought into this movie, Lock, Stock, and Barrel. Let me tell you just a little bit about it. You can go on, you can read the review. I assure you I will not be going to see the movie. But this is why you have to be diligent, which is what this whole sermon is all about. Know what you believe and why. There is so much going around, and now here's where we get. Forget about what's going on in the world right now. We have very little control over that. That's all in the Lord's hands anyway. So is this. But I think we need to know a little bit about what's going on around us. So this book is, or this movie I should say now, because once a book is one thing, some people read a book, when a movie comes out, it can become a very big deal, especially if it catches on. But I can see where this movie would create a split in the church, because it mixes some very good biblical doctrine with some that is not. And when that's woven together, even a professing Christian could be swayed away from what's going on and their own beliefs. That's a difficult place to be. I listened to two gentlemen give a critique about this, and I remember them opening their conversation on this, that this is something they really just don't even like to talk about. Because it mixes some of that good doctrine with not so good doctrine, you just don't want to have to deal with it. But I think we have to. In brief, this is about a man and his wife who tragically lose a daughter. Tragically, I'm not even going to go into the detail as to what happened. He attends church, keyword attends, but is not as active or strong in his faith as his wife. In the movie, God is referred to as Papa, in the form of a middle-aged black woman. Jesus appears as a young Jewish man, I got that correct, with a big beard and even a bigger smile, and the Holy Spirit appears as a tall, slender, Asian female called Sarayu. And again, now this is some of the non-biblical stuff, and there are some people, I read some quotes on some very well-known people in the spiritual world that said, man, this is, you know, you essentially you got to go see this. And others who say this is just pure heresy. So you can see how this can divide Christians when something like this comes out. You got to be very, very careful. Are there a lot of good themes through here about the man and how he comes to faith? Of course. But that's what makes it all confusing. Why do they have to mix all this together? No surprise, though, right? Shouldn't be. Something else that's new and came to my attention very recently is a trend that is leading many Christians astray. This movement is called hyper grace or free grace. How many have heard about it? Hyper grace or free grace? Okay, hyper grace or free grace is confusing, to be sure, because it can be considered as an attack on how the Bible tells us to deal with sin and obedience. And I'm going to read something real quick from this gentleman named Joseph Matera. And he writes about 8 signs of hypergrace churches. Let me just read real quick what he says. He says, in the past several decades, we have seen a dramatic decline in doctrinal and biblical preaching. Is that dangerous? Yeah? We have gone from theology to therapy in the pulpits. In the past decade, we went from therapy to motivational speaking instead of preaching. In addition to this, whole churches and movements have oriented themselves to a distorted understanding of the gospel, espousing a hyper-grace approach that trickles down to not only what they preach, but who they allow to minister and teach. I was told there is even a new television station devoted to this new grace. This is why you need to know about this. Furthermore, many churches and preachers refuse to take a stand against sin and rarely, if ever, mention the need for repentance or topics like hell and judgment. Here's the interesting part. This is nothing new. For centuries, the body of Christ has wrestled with something called antinomianism. And that was a new word for me. Anti means against, of course. Nomos means the law. So against the law. This is the belief that the moral law of the Old Testament has been done away with, and that once we are in Christ, there is free grace in which we can almost live any way we want, since we are not under the law, but under grace. Confusing? Thus, according to this view, the Old Testament is not that important to read, except for metaphors, types, and symbols regarding the coming of Christ. The New Testament is all about grace and does away with Old Testament law. So very quickly, here are 8 signs that this gentleman points out of a church that would be teaching hyper-grace or free grace. The preachers never speak against sin. The lead pastor never takes a cultural stand for righteousness. The Old Testament is almost totally ignored. People who live immoral lives are allowed to teach and lead ministries. The lead pastor speaks often against the institutional church. The lead pastor preaches against tithing. The lead pastor only preaches positive, motivational messages. I would dare say, click the channel on the TV on a Sunday and catch some ministries on there and see what you think. This goes on to describe, and I'm not going to read it in the interest of time, this goes on to describe about this identity. So essentially, you know, you kind of make religion what you want. You pull out of this Bible what you want. If it doesn't fit you, how many of you believe that this is in the inerrant word of God? Okay? As soon as you take one part out of this, it's gone. It's gone. I dare say that is what most seminaries are teaching today, not just Princeton University. Extremely liberal. Extremely liberal. But everywhere. And look, there are some hot topics in this book. And I think those hot topics are there because God wanted them there. And we all know what some of those are. We just talked about one today. Tithing. You'll hear almost everyone has a point, a comment to make about tithing, whether it's Old Testament, New Testament, whether it's money and time or pure money alone. We can talk all we want about that. I'll just leave that between you and the Lord. how you want to do that. What does 1 Peter, so we know we shouldn't be surprised about this, 1 Peter 5:8 tell us? Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. You know that verse well, right? None of this stuff should surprise us. You know, and we tend to not remember or think about the fact that Satan is constantly trying to work on us at our weakest moments. You know, you feel guilty about something. You didn't do something you should have done for the Lord. So you're on this guilt trip, and, you know, and then if something happens that's devastating, then you tend to, what, pull back, right, in your faith instead of moving forward. So, what are we to take away from all this? You really, in today's world, need to know what you believe and why. Am I telling you anything you don't know already? So what do we do about this? Here's just a list that I quickly threw together. And this is as much for me as it is for you. All right? Study your Bible. Study your Bible. Study your Bible. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for having heard some of your scripture mixed in with other things this morning, Lord. It can be confusing. It can be all-consuming sometimes. Sometimes so much so we just walk away from it all, including your word. Lord, we pray, based on what we've heard this morning, that we will encourage one another, that we will, on our own, individually, in some small way, do a better job in serving you, starting with reading our Bible and praying more, being more earnest about it. And then, Lord, if you call us and we feel that call to serve you in a greater capacity, whatever it may be, even if it's a conversation at the so-called water cooler at work, let us be ready to have that conversation, because the world needs to hear it. We're not responsible for what they do with it, but we are responsible for spreading your gospel. And it's in Christ's name we ask these things. Amen.
Audio files, CDs, and notes of our weekly services are available on our website, www.amwell.org, or by calling 609-397-4842 and ask for CDs by the title or by guest speaker. Please don't forget to leave your name, address, and phone number.